Next item on the agenda is Ferdinand C. Dugan III, number 11-0878, request authorization to install approximately 158 linear foot riprap revetment against a failing bulkhead and retain a 45-foot-long riprap marsh toe sill adjacent to property situated along the Potomac River in Westmoreland County. The project is protested by an adjoining property owner. Mr. Madden, good morning.
Commissioner just explained, and I'll go right to the first slide. The property that Mr. Dugan owns and resides on is located in Coles Neck, section of Westmoreland County. It's approximately 6 miles north of the village of Kinsale. The property is located along the west shore of the Potomac River, immediately downstream from its confluence with Gardner Creek. The shoreline is exposed to a northeast fetch of approximately 5 miles. The shoreline immediately north of Mr. Dugan's property is currently undeveloped, and the property adjoining Mr. Dugan's parcel to the south is owned by Mr. Webb, and I'll show that right here. Here we have the applicant's property. Property line is along this bulkhead here. This is Mr. Webb. Mr. Webb couldn't be here today. He called me just a few minutes ago prior to the hearing and said he wasn't going to be able to attend. That's the protestant's property, Mr. Dugan's property. The bulkhead in question is here. The area where the other work was conducted is in this area here. To the north, it's as I mentioned just a moment ago, it's undeveloped. The owner of that property, their residence is inside Gardner Creek proper.
Did the protest and indicate why he couldn't? Was there any specific reason he gave that would be acceptable in a public hearing to be divulged?
He said that he had an unavoidable commitment that he had.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need to know.
Mr. Dugan is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain a 45-foot-long riprap sill with a 22-foot base width and additional authorization to install a 158-foot-long toe scour riprap revetment with an 8-foot base width against an existing timber bulkhead. I pictured those in yellow here. This is the original drawing set that we received. This is the sill, this location here. This is mean low water. This is an intertidal riprap revetment at the north end of the property. In June of the year, Mr. Dugan has submitted the application and drawings that you see before you. And in addition to what is pictured here, when I go to the next slide, you'll see that he also would like to originally came before the with this application to place some fill material, sandy fill, clean sandy fill material, and to sprig the area behind the sill with alterniflora and patens. It would be in the springtime. You can notice here that they have a slope here of 1.5 to 1. I'm sorry, that marker is doing its job. 1.5. It is a foot and a half above mean high water, top width 3 feet, 2-to-1 slope. In order to create this for the dimensions inside that area, they'd have to be approximately 20 feet wide. It was determined quickly when we reviewed this project that only portions of this project, I'll go back to the original one, were within the commission's jurisdiction. The area here, which is represents the riprap revetment, that was above mean low water and therefore not in our jurisdiction. This is the mean low water line. the fill material, which is going to go back in this location here, the fill material, and the plantings, of course, were above the mean low water line. The Westmoreland County Wetlands Board elected to... I'm jumping ahead. Forgive me. The Wetland Board in Westmoreland County, at their July 18th hearing, approved the project. Subsequent to the hearing and before the VMRC permit was issued, the riprap sill, which is this area here, was installed. Mr. Dugan elected to modify his application to include the installation of a 158-foot riprap revetment toe scour in front of the bulkhead, right there, all the way down to the end of his property. The idea being that this riprap revetment would substantially reinforce this bulkhead, which is behind it. When I walked the bulkhead, I noticed the number of voids back here, which would suggest that sand is leaving from underneath the bulkhead. So this type of fort armoring would be probably a good idea. By a letter dated September 7th, we acknowledged receipt of the revised drawings and informed Mr. Dugan that the revision would require a permit. Previous to this, we also informed Mr. Dugan that the sill would require a permit as well. The Westmoreland County Wetlands Board elected to assert jurisdiction over this modification, and on September 19th, they voted to approve the project. Those portions that were within their jurisdiction, which is a very narrow section down here, which came intertidal. Immediately after the September 19th hearing, I drove over to the property, and that's when I discovered that the sill had been put in. There shows the base width, so about 8 feet. 2-to-1 slope. This is what it was in July when I first went out there. And you'll see that there's a lot of rubble here, some phragmites up in the upper area. And the sill was going to be going out in this location down here. Now I've turned and I'm looking up into the pocket. This pocket here. The revetment was going to be installed along this area right here. This is the pin to locate the upper limits of what I believe to be the sill location. So the sill was going to go from this location across and then out into the river. Now I'm looking from the property line back along this one. This I took in September. My reason for going out there was to photograph this. That's the bulkhead. That's where the 158-foot riprap's going to go in. And this is, I discovered this sill on that day. You can see it's been installed to fill in this area. Here's looking from inside the shell, looking out for the river. Whole area has been blocked off. In the springtime, if approved, in springtime, this area will be seeded, and there will be. And this is, at the time I went back in July, it was a very high tide. I have reason to believe, looking at the site indicators, that mean low water will come out somewhere along here. I believe Jeff Howard, when he told me that mean low water, he was the original engineer who drew the drawings, that mean low water does come out somewhere down in here. This area will be filled and sprigged and with spartina and with pigs. After that meeting, I contacted Mr. Dugan, and I asked him, about the about the fill, about the sill that went in there, and he took responsibility for it, saying that he had contracted Richard Rose and Sons to install the sill, and it was under the belief that he had all of the permits that he required. And while staff acknowledges there's a potential for some movement of the material, this is in response to some of the questions that I had. Mr. Webb, the protestant, was very, very concerned that the stone, if they just put stone against the bulkhead, that the stone would shift around. And he believed that a groin should be put in there so it would at least lock the stone in. He really didn't like the stone at all because he thought the stone would potentially damage his property if the stones moved around and slammed against his bulkhead. He even wanted to have, in some conversations that we had on the phone, he would have just preferred to have sand put in the area. But I informed him that we don't consider sand to be an erosion control device. But he maintained his protest project. And in response to that's the paragraph that I put in here, that while staff acknowledges there is a potential for some movement of riprap placed against a bulkhead in a dynamic environment such as this, the structure is designed to incorporate Class 2 and Class 3 stone. And I went on to say the dimensions of the Class 3 stone being that Class 2 stone weighs between 150 and 500 pounds, with approximately 50% of them weighing more than 300 pounds. Class 3 typically weighs between 500 and 1,500 pounds, with approximately 50% of the stone weighing 900 pounds. In addition, the toe of the structure will be buried a foot below the mean low water elevation with a 2-to-1 slope. We feel, and I'll get more into that in the recommendations, that the structure is appropriate, and we, however, think a three-foot toe would be much better, and the structure would survive much better with that. So in terms of a summary and recommendation, the alteration of any natural shoreline poses some risk of failure. However, the placement of Class 2 and Class 3 riprap against an existing bulkhead has been a successful, well-documented erosion control strategy along waterfronts throughout Tidewater. With respect to the after-the-fact aspect of the project, the construction of the riprap sill with a planting and nourished beach component is currently viewed as a preferred method to control erosion along the shoreline. Staff is concerned that portions of this project were begun before the completion of the permit review process and the execution of that permit. However, upon notification from us that he had violated the Code of Virginia, Mr. Dugan immediately acknowledged full responsibility for the error and cooperated fully with the follow-up investigation. Accordingly, after considering the factors in 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project. The environmental impacts associated with the after-the-fact sill are minimal, and the degree of non-compliance is minimal. Staff recommends the assessment of a minimum charge and a mole charge of $600 and a triple permit fee. And I just had that one last slide if you want to see that.
Any questions of Mr. Madden? Mr. Palmer?
The contractor that put that stone in.
Yes.
He's done this before for other houses on the water. So he should be aware of the permitting process, should he not?
Yes, he should. I would think so, yes, sir.
So then he should have made the property owner aware that he needed a permit prior to putting that in.
I fully acknowledge that. Yes, sir.
So
we, to that, we notified him. He chose not to attend.
But I was going to say, but the property owner then should have been notified, and he did it anyway.
I agree. Yes, sir.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Madden. Applicant present or represented?
Yes, Good morning, Mr. Commissioner.
Good morning, sir. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You state your name for the record, please.
And C. Dugan, sir.
Good to have you here, sir.
Excuse my voice.
Yes, sir.
And good morning, members of the commission. As was said, I did this, and I didn't know that I didn't have the full permission to go ahead with this. So I had that sill done. I was really concerned. I'd been working since November of 2010 trying to get this thing done before the hurricane season. And as it turned out, the contractor installed it, and a week after that, we experienced Hurricane Irene. And had that not been installed, I feel that I probably would have lost another 5 feet of land and a couple of trees on the shoreline. So, as was said, I do take full responsibility for doing this and not realizing that I didn't have the full permit.
Well, did the contractor, to follow up to Mr. Palmer, did the contractor advise you that you needed an additional permit and you authorized them to go?
He asked me, sir, if I had the permits, and I said yes, which I thought I did.
Okay.
And he did not research it to see that he didn't have the permit. I told him that the Wetlands Board, I think what I confused it, the Wetlands Board approval was the approval for that piece. And I told him that the Wetlands Board said that he could proceed and they would give him a permit later. But it was a verbal approval, and I did that.
All right, sir.
It was my fault.
Follow up, Mr. Palmer, to my inquiry?
No, sir.
Thanks. Proceed.
That's it.
Mr. Robbins has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to ask the staff recommendation, which you just heard, includes a recommended minimal civil charge of $600. Do you agree to that?
I have no choice. I have to take it upon my responsibility. The answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions? Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else in support of the project in the audience? Anyone here in opposition to the project in the audience? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission for action. Mr. Tankard?
Move to approve staff recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Fox comes before Schick alphabetically. Mr. Fox, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Mr. Commissioner?
Yes, sir.
Do we need to address the contractor separately if we wanted to do that?
I tend to, unless I misunderstood something, it was my interpretation that Mr. Dugan, through his own admission, advised the contractor that he did have the sufficient permits in hand. Contractor just did not do due diligence to say, let me see those permits to ensure that they're correct permits. So I don't know where we ultimately stand there, but you're more than welcome to ask the question if you would like. But that's what I got, unless I misunderstood something. Mr. Dugan, could you come forward, please? Still under oath.
Sure.
Did the contractor actually ask you to see the permits?
No.
And did he ask you which permits you got? Or did
No. He just said we need the permits to go forward. And as I said, I thought I had permission.
Full permits. But
yeah, so I told him.
I know where you're going.
I mean, the contractor knows full and well what permits are necessary if he's a marine contractor. He should have advised you that you didn't have full permits. We rely on the expertise of those that we hire. Yes. And unfortunately, as the consumer, we're the ones that seem to have to pay the brunt of that. I really think that at least we should hear from the contractor. He should have come here and talked to us about it. The question is do we want to compel him to come here under threat of
why don't we do this?
Civil action order.
Why don't we write him a letter? Why don't we direct staff to write him a letter and ask him exactly what he found out? And then if we need to bring him before here after we find out through the letter, I think what we're going to find, if I were a guessing person, having sat in court a number of times, the truth is somewhere in between the two. And but we can definitely ask for the details. Tony, correct? If nothing else,
permit, see what was required.
And paragraph, last paragraph, say, oh, by the way, you
in
know.
The future.
Yeah, that's my point exactly. In the future, if you're going to undertake these type of operations, you should be certain of the permit requirements to keep us from having to write these silly letters to you.
Okay.
Fair enough. Mr. Fox.
Well, I believe the commission has a little yellow sticker that's supposed to be nailed on a posted on the property, and the contractor should have looked for that.
That's correct. With our permit,
yes.
Issued, in this case, our permit hadn't been issued.
So it would not be there, right.
So, yeah,
ask all the pertinent questions. We'll see if we need him before us. Thank you, Mr. Dugan.
Thank you very much.